Thanks for tuning into this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can check us out on the web at hillsideassembly.org. You're about to hear a message from our current message series, and I hope you open your heart and mind to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Eric. I'm the lead pastor here at Hillside Assembly. If it's your first time watching us, we're very excited that you're with us. Normally, we do drive-in church, or we have been doing drive-in church, but for the next 3 weeks, today and then the next 2 weeks, we are doing online only, though we are streaming on our radio signal as well, just because we have so many people that are struggling through the virus right now, people sick in our own church. Many of our leaders are out, and so we just don't have the manpower to be able to put together our drive-in services. But we're hoping to return outside. Be the 22nd, I believe. We're going to shoot for that. We'll see what happens, but we'll make a decision before we hit the November 15th on where we will go next. Super excited for this morning because we've got a lot of great things planned. We've got Gloria Biffert with us from the Congo. Jeb is going to be here. Our puppet is traveling the world, visiting our missionary partners, and he'll be streaming in from Belgium here, or not Belgium, but from Spain in just a few moments. So that will be exciting. Robin's here to lead us in worship. A couple of announcements for you to be aware of. If you're watching the live stream today and it does cut out on you, if you wait just a few moments, refresh that page, you should be able to reconnect to a new live stream. But we're hoping that we'll be able to stay on stream, on task for the remainder of our service. It's great again to have you with us if you're here for the online, if it's your first time. Some announcements to go over. We're doing Operation Christmas Child. You can still drop off those packages anytime this week. We'd love to take those from you. We'll get those ready to take out and send to the distribution center the following week. So bring those in anytime this week, and then the following week we'll get those out to Operation Christmas Child. Don't forget, this week is voting. Super important. Encourage you to get out and vote if you haven't done that already. But I will tell you this. No matter who's elected next week, Jesus will still be king. We are still going to worship him, and we are still on mission to reach the lost and to preach the gospel. That's not going to change. No matter who the president is, we're going to continue to honor Christ in amazing ways. Also, if you'd like to give this morning, you can do so at hillsideassembly.org. You can give right online. That'd be a great way to give. Also, if you happen to be in our parking lot and you came, you're listening on the radio and you want to give today, you can give in the white tubes that are out as you exit the parking lot. You can just drop your money in there, and we'll make sure to collect those at the end of service today. Today, before we move on with service, we want to take a moment to pray with you. I know so many of you guys, you're heartbroken, you're dealing with so much stuff. We've got people that are sick, we know people that are sick. We want to pray for them. But I do want to say thank you. Yesterday, my dad had a very strong fever, went to bed early, and then got up in the middle of the night and collapsed and passed out. And then my brother, I guess, had to find him. We went to prayer. He's doing much better today. I haven't heard from him today yet, but as of last night, was doing much better. They're monitoring him. So thank you for your prayers there. I know there's just so many people that are dealing with struggles and issues, but I want to tell you, God is on the move, and God is never going to be late for your miracle. God has a miracle for you. And I believe that when we pray today that your miracle is on the way, it's going to show up just in time, whether you're sick and you need a healing or whether you're heartbroken and you just need God to speak peace into your life. God wants to do great things. And God is changing and transforming lives. In November, we honor the persecuted church. And there are a lot of places around the world that don't have the freedoms that we have. But I want to tell you, God is moving. In 2020, there's been more salvations than we've ever seen before. God is on the move. And we get to be a part of that today. So let's go to prayer for each other. Lord, we thank you this morning that, God, you love us. Lord, you came, that you died, you rose again, and you've called us into a relationship with you. You've not abandoned us. You're not leaving us. Though this winter is going to be challenging and difficult, though we're walking through some really hard issues, God, you've not left us. Your light shines bright. And we thank you for the lives that have been changed and transformed over the last few months here at Hillside and in the surrounding community. God, you're not done. I believe you're rolling up your sleeves and you're just getting started. Lord, there are more lives to be reached in Ripon and in the surrounding communities. So Lord, we ask for your favor and direction. Would you guide us? And Lord, how to be effective in preaching the word and reaching the lost like never before. Lord, you've done something. You've taken us out of our comfort zone over the last few months. Lord, we've come this far. Where do you want to take us next? Lord, we want to reach people that don't know you as their Lord and Savior and connect them with you. Lord, we pray this morning, God, for the brokenhearted, those whose minds feel they're worn out, they're exhausted. Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer. Lord, we pray for our sister churches this morning, so many that are dealing with issues, whether sickness in their leadership or pastors that are sick or people in their congregations that are sick this morning. And God, the leaders are exhausted, pastors are exhausted, but God, we pray that you would fill them with fresh fire today to do what you've called them to do, to reach the lost, to preach the word. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church this morning, those who are under such hardships. But God, it's interesting that sometimes the hardship is the very thing that spreads the gospel. Lord, we pray that the gospel would be preached around the globe like never before, that you would reap in a harvest in these days, and that we get to be a part of that. We don't get to just sit back and relax and watch you do it. You've asked us to partner with you to see that come to fruition. And God, we thank you for that calling on our life. That we're able to support our missionaries across the globe is such an honor and a privilege. Lord, as we do our online service today, would you meet us right here as we worship, as we spend time with Gloria, as we seek your face and hear your words, would you transform our life and our mind? We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Robbie, would you lead us in worship this morning?
We're going to sing Trading My Sorrows. And I'm trading my sorrows, and I'm trading my shame. For the joy of the Lord. And I'm trading my sickness, and I'm trading my pain, and I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy's gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for a night, his joy comes with the yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Let's sing that again. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. One last time. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. The theme that I've chosen today for worship is the theme of joy. I've been reading a book lately
by C.S. Lewis called Surprised by Joy. And basically, it's his story of conversion from being an atheist to being surprised that the joy comes from the Lord. It's a great book. But I want to read a scripture verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and is not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And then I want to skip down to verse 16, and it says this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. We all go through difficult times and struggles, but what counts is what's on the inside. And if you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart, no matter what you are facing, God can give you strength to make it through. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being made new. My prayer for you this morning is that you would be made new and that you would find the joy of the Lord. I want you to sing this song with me, You Have Made Me Glad. Deliverer, Thank you that you are our strength. When we're facing struggles and circumstances, questions that we don't know the answers to, God, you give us joy and you give us peace. We seek after you and your will for our lives. Thank you, God, for what you are doing. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's time for a postcard from Jeb. That's me. Let's go.
Hola, mi amigos. This is Jeb, and I made it to Barcelona, Spain. It is a beautiful city and a beautiful culture. I have really enjoyed my time here, and I spent the last few days with the McKinstrys, and they are amazing. It's been so exciting to be with them and be a part of their church and community here. They're doing a great job. We're putting together a video for you, and Pastor Eric will put it up here in November. It'll be Jeb's World Tour, Episode 1, and the McKinstrys will share with you all about their ministry projects and what God is doing in their life and here in Barcelona, Spain. Well, I'm excited for you today. I know that you're having online church, and that's not what we expected. But you know what? God moves in all sorts of mysterious ways. And I think it's pretty interesting that you guys all sent me on a world tour to visit our missionary partners, and God brought you a missionary today. It's like an exchange program. You sent me to Spain, and Congo has sent you Miss Gloria Bifford. Hey there, Gloria. I'm sorry I missed you on our world tour, but we'll connect at another time. I know that you've got a great word from God for all of my church family at Hillside. And I know that God is using you in great ways all the way down there in the Congo and all the places you travel and teach in. No, I'm praying for you, and that I know you're going to have a great service today with Pastor Eric, the ministry team, and all of Hillside Assembly online today. Now, you have a great day. Make sure you scoot, shoot, and boogie in worship, because that's what we do, and I'm not there, and so somebody needs to do it. So, Miss Gloria, if you could make sure that's happening, that would be great. And I know that you're going to do a great job today, so I'm going to say, vamos! That means I got to go! So it's time for Miss Gloria to come and share the Word of God with all of you. Have a great day, and keep praying. God's moving! Let's make sure we're reaching people for Jesus. Bye!
Hello, church family, Hillside Assembly. So good to be with you today, even if it is online. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Eric and the church, for allowing me to be able to come and share with you today about what God's been doing in the Democratic Republic of Congo. There is so much to share that I actually won't have enough time today to share all of it with you, but I just pray that God just blesses you and blesses the time that we do have today. Once again, I am a missionary to the Democratic Republic of Congo, and you've been supporting me for many years. Thank you for your continued prayers and your faithful giving. Because of you, we're making a difference in the Democratic Republic of Congo through training of teachers, teaching in the Bible school, training professors, as well as helping with women's ministry, youth conventions, and children's ministry. So I thank you for that. Thank you for all that you've been a part of these last several years, as well as a part of my life as I grew up here in Ripon as my home church. I just miss you all, and just pray for you, and just praying for God to begin and to continue to do such a work in your life. I have a video that I want to show you just to kind of give you an idea of what my last term has been like. I hope you enjoy it. If you're not able to see it, we're going to try and see if we can get that posted somewhere so those that are listening on the radio will be able to see that. However, you will hear the song in the background, so enjoy.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Oh,
Amen. Imbote Sanganini Nzambe Apambolo Yo. That is Lingala for hello, how are you, and God bless you. That is one of our five national languages in the Democratic Republic of Congo. French is another language that I speak. I am learning Lingala little by little. But I just want you to experience a little bit of what Congo is like. And if you saw that video, part of it was a little bumpy. And as you can tell, the roads are bumpy. And we find ourselves even today on a bumpy road, and we're not really sure where it's ending up. But we know that we can have a hope in Jesus Christ, and that this road that we're traveling on, God is not surprised. He is not surprised by the pandemic. He is not surprised by governments and by all the different things that are happening in our world today. But God knows exactly where you are and what you're doing. Even if we're online today, he knows exactly where you're sitting, where you're standing, where you're walking, or where you're parked even. And God wants you to know that he loves you today. I just want to share just a little bit about what God's been doing the last 4 years in the Congo. I've been training teachers in our over 800 Christian schools, as well as training professors in our Bible schools and in our seminaries, teaching classes, working with women in women's ministry, as well as youth and doing different youth conventions. God has been keeping me busy. However, since the pandemic, I was in Congo for 12 weeks by myself as my colleagues got stuck in the United States after attending a conference. And how faithful God is. He takes care of his own. And in those 12 weeks time, there were things that I was able to do and get done in my home and still have contact with our pastors and our students. Even though just recently, within the last 3 weeks, we've come back to teaching in the classroom, I am not there as I've started itineration, but God is doing a work in lives in the Congo. And it was such an encouragement to even share with our students that church is not necessarily a building, but you are the church. And showing our students and helping our brothers and sisters in Christ to be the church themselves and going out into their communities and spreading the gospel to those that they come in contact with. Even if that means sitting on the front porch, talking, chatting, whatever that looks like, God wants to use you to speak into people's lives. And if that means the church has to leave the four walls of a building, then that's what they need to do. Africans love church. Church is their life. And for them not to be able to attend for almost 7 months was a drastic change for them. And so I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for getting them through. They are actually now back in the church with social distancing and wearing masks and different things. God has continued to do a work in their life, and we pray that there is going to be a harvest from this. Because like I said, God is not surprised, and he will take what is happening, and he's going to make something good out of it. Amen. Well, the last 4 years, I've been traveling to all parts of Congo as well as to Togo, teaching in our Bible school there. And it's been such a great experience just learning so many different things from various countries. When I was in Togo, I taught principles of teaching to various Africans from West Africa and Central Africa, as well as teaching in French in the on the Kinshasa campus to our various students there as well. And God is just doing a work. We've opened a night school now with our seminary where we have lay people that actually already have university degrees but want to do ministry. And so he's calling doctors and nurses and lawyers and judges to come and to do ministry in their communities. And so we thank you for those prayers, for those people, and for those families that are a part of this and the change that they're walking through. But they believe that God is going to do a work in their lives, and God is continuing to minister. Even in the various things that are happening in Congo, we are struggling. There are people, even in the pandemic, was very difficult. There was 2 weeks where nothing was open. All the markets were shut down. During that time, African people are very collaborative, very community-oriented, and so they share and they help each other out when there is no food, that they're able to produce food or to give food that they have in access to others. And so we thank you for your prayers. I was not able to get to a lot of the people that I knew because they had shut down the downtown area where 3 million people come to work every single day, and there was maybe 500 people that would come. So in those 12 weeks of being isolated in the downtown area in my home, I could hear the birds chirp. And I never hear the birds chirp. In all of the years I've lived there, it's the first time I've actually heard it like that. Because normally it's hustling and bustling. There's horns honking, people talking, people selling things, taxi drivers yelling out their destinations of where they're headed, kids laughing, radios blaring. And yet I felt like I wasn't even in Congo at that time. And there was a pastor that just encouraged me. I had contact with all of my students and pastor friends, encouraging them that God is with us. We're in this together. And I had a pastor friend who was in the middle of construction of his church, and he sent me a video of that construction, and I just started to cry. Because in that video is where I heard the sounds of Congo. I heard the radios blaring, the horns honking, the people talking. Because to me, I didn't feel like I was in Kinshasa. But in that video, I knew that there were still people alive and functioning, and Congo was still there. And yet, it was not happening where I was, but outside of my downtown area. And so I just thank the Lord for his protection, for his guidance, for his wisdom, in just reaching out to our pastors and our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Congo. I greet you from them, all of our pastors that I work with and our colleagues, greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. I look forward to one day introducing you to them and also invite you to come to Congo. I have to tell you, I would much rather be in Congo today than here, weather-wise. I love America. I love my home. But it's freezing here, and heat is always a good thing, and so I look forward to heading back to the heat soon. But thank you for your prayers and for your financial giving. I just kind of want to share something with you that God's just kind of placed on my heart in the last several months and just in the time that we've been in quarantine, I guess you could say, in this pandemic. We're a blessed nation, and we live in a country where we are blessed to have freedoms that we have. However, 85 to 90% of the world does not live with the freedoms that we have. And we can thank the Lord for that. Amen. And many of those people have learned to live in the places that they live. And yet God is calling us to pray and to reach out to them, as well as them to us. A verse that God gave me was found in Micah 6:8, which you've seen on the video, which says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." This was something that I would just felt like, God, what exactly is it that you're calling us to do? And even in the book of Micah, if you read even beforehand, God was displeased with the people. And so they were trying to figure out, what can we do to make you happy? What can we do to please you? And they were going, can we give more grain offerings? Can we give more sacrifices? Even to the point they said we would even give our firstborn son. And God said, that's not what I'm asking of you, but this is what I'm requiring of you. That you walk, that you act justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. What is justice? If I gave a definition, which I found here, justice is doing right. It's righteousness, the moral principle determining just conduct. The last couple of months, we've been confronted with numerous times of where is justice in this world? And when we think of justice, sometimes we think of rights and the rights that we have. And like I said, we as Americans are very blessed with the rights that we have. However, the majority of the world does not share in these same freedoms. But the one thing that we do have in common is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? For some, it's normal to be oppressed and to live in difficulty almost 100% of the time. And yet they rely on their relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to rely on Jesus Christ. Even in these difficult times, even when things don't even make sense, we need to keep our eyes and our trust in Jesus Christ. What we need to do is we need to change our citizenship. We as Americans are very patriotic. I love my country. But many other countries are not very patriotic. And why is that? And we find that it's because their tribes are a lot older than their countries are. And so they're more loyal to their tribe or to their culture than they are to their country. And yet, in reality, we need to change our citizenship and we need to make our forwarding address heaven. Each one of us, as a Christian, we are a follower of Christ. And therefore, our goal is not what is going to come in this country or what's going to come to this world, but what's going to come in our future. And eternity is in our future. If you follow Christ and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is our goal, is to follow him and to arrive to our destination, which is eternal life. to act justly. What are your actions today? Are they honest? Are they of good conduct? Showing justice to all men and women with no preferential treatment. What is God asking us to change? What is God asking us to do? In Psalms 82:3, it says, give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Are we fighting for the rights of those less fortunate without fathers, without husbands, or those that are afflicted? Going against the flow or the actions of the mainstream society can be difficult because we say everybody's doing it. It's accepted everywhere. And it seems that there's been a line that's been drawn, and yet this line has either been pushed further and further back, or the line has become wider and wider, and it's become more gray. And we've started to accept things that we've never accepted before. And yet then we turn around, we realize, how did we come to this point? And that's where we need to say to ourselves, what do I believe? What am I standing on? Who is my source? The enemy is on the run, trying to put fear and disbelief into people's hearts and minds. And we need to stand on the word of God. We need to stand on what God is showing us in his word. It has never changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, just as he himself has never changed. What a promise we can stand on. How often have we allowed things to creep in thinking it isn't so bad, and then we had to deal with consequences later? My friend, there are things that sound good today, but let me tell you, in a couple months, it's not going to sound very good then. We need to know who we are. We need to know that we are not of this world, that we're just traveling through it. In 1 Chronicles 29:15, it says, we are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land, as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. My friends, we don't know if today is going to be our last day. We don't know if next week or in a month. But God is the only one that numbers our days. And what we do today will ultimately affect what our tomorrows will bring. What are you investing in today? What are you trusting in today? Are we acting in the way that God is wanting us to? In Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. My friends, the enemy is going to find your weakest point, and in a lot of people, it's your mind. That's where we need to keep our mind focused on Jesus Christ. We can't be focusing on what's going on around us. We need to be concerned with what's going on around us. But ultimately, our mind needs to be concentrated on his word and what he's asking us to do. Like I said, it never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the more we meditate, the more we take time in the word of God, the more that God's going to renew our mind, and he's going to bring a peace that passes all understanding. If you're fearful today, if you're sick in your body today, the word of God is going to bring healing. The word of God is going to bring a peace like you've never sensed before. Many people ask me, how do you live in the Congo? And I say, but God. The only way I could do what I'm called to do is because of God. My friends, today is a day of salvation. How can we live in a world today where people are literally at fear, embedded in darkness, because they are in confusion? They don't know where to go. They don't know where they're headed. They don't know what they're doing. But let me tell you, there are words that God wants to bring to you that brings a peace that passes all understanding, that you don't understand. How can you be so peaceful? Like Robin talked about today in the joy. There is a joy like never before. If you're seeking that joy, I encourage you to find someone that reminds you of joy. This church loves people. Come, be a part of it. Be a part of what God's doing in this city and in this community. The second thing that God's asking us to do is to love mercy. You cannot love God if you don't love yourself or others. He created you and every human being here on earth. Let me tell you, God created intelligent people. If God created every human being on earth, that means you're intelligent. You need to tell yourself, I'm smart. I'm intelligent. When we're created, like I have a mom and dad with the DNA of my mom and dad, I have a piece of each one of them in me. And yet I'm the person who I am today. And I also reflect the image of Christ, meaning the DNA of God is in me. And let me tell you, God is perfect. Am I perfect? No. But God in me makes me who I am today to be who he wants me to be for others around him. around me, to speak truth and life. It is easy to love God, but do you love his creation? Do you love that coworker that drives you nuts, or that neighbor that always seems to be doing something that's pushing your buttons? My friends, are we loving mercy? Are we loving others? Are we spending time in his word? The more time you spend in his word, the more time you spend in prayer, the more you're going to love others. If you can't stand other people, you can't stand yourself, pray. Ask others to pray with you. We all know what the love chapter is, 1 Corinthians 13. If you've never read it, I encourage you to read it. And there's part of that chapter, growing up even, I've had to memorize this chapter. But I had recently heard a pastor who talked about 1 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 6, and he read it out of the Living Bible. Not the New Living Translation, but the Living Bible. And this is what it says. And I just encourage you, just take a moment and reflect. Is this what we see in our society today? Are we seeing this in our families? Are we seeing this in our workplaces? Love is never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges. And this last part is kind of where it hit me between the eyes. Love will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. How difficult it is to always let other people know, you know what, you're not loving the way I think you should love, or the way I show love, that's not the way you're showing it to me. But you know what it's saying in a word is we're not even noticing that they're doing it wrong. We're still loving them anyways. Loving them no matter where they're at in life. Nobody's perfect. People love us even at our most difficult. And yet God loves us so much more, and he loves you so much more. Are we willing to love everyone? More so, are we willing to show mercy when mistakes are made? We all make mistakes. Are we willing to love people even when they don't reciprocate it? Or the way they we think they should? In 1 John 3:17 to 18, is out of the Passion Translation, says, if anyone sees a fellow believer in need and has the means to help him, yet shows no pity and closes his heart against him, how is it even possible that God's love lives in him? Beloved children, our love cannot be an abstract theory we only talk about, but a way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds. There are people watching you today. There are people that watch you every single day, no matter if you're in a grocery store or a gas station. I love people watching. I love observing. And you know where people's hearts are by their actions, by their deeds. Are we loving mercy? Do we act justly? Do we love mercy? And the third thing that God is showing us today is walking humbly with your God. What does humbly mean? Not proud or arrogant, meaning you're allowing him to lead. It also can be known as low in rank, importance, status, quality. It's not necessarily saying, okay, woe is me, and we make ourselves look like we're poor and that we don't have much and we're living with hardly anything. That's not what God is asking us to do. God wants us to bless us. He wants us to be in abundance. But ultimately, when he's asking us to walk humbly with him, that means we're putting him first in all areas of our life. In everything that we do, God is number one. We're standing strong. We're confident, knowing that God is the head of my house. God is the head of my life. He's the one that leads, guides, and directs. I am taking my hands off and letting him take control. The last thing is courteously being respectful. Are we listening and following his lead? How many times are we praying and asking God for help, to help us, and yet we don't take the time to sit and listen? You know, in the 12 weeks that I was in Congo, it was a lot of time to listen, and I'm sure many of you experienced the same thing. But even if I paused here today, how many of us would get distracted within minutes of just sitting in silence? God is speaking to us, and he wants to speak to each and every one of you. Are we willing to sit and listen? When we follow someone, we literally encounter the same things they do. When we're following Christ, what Christ suffered, we're going to suffer. What Christ had victory over, we have victory over. You have authority in Jesus' name. Because like I said, you're a child of God. He's given us authority. He's giving us peace. He's given us hope to lean on. It's not always the way we would do it, but what does it matter? God is teaching us and showing us where we need to go and what we need to do. Church isn't like what we used to have. But you know what? God is still present. He's still with you today. You can talk to him no matter what time of day, 24/7. No matter if you're in the deepest ocean, the highest mountains, God is with you. I could be in the Congo. God is there. You could be here in Ripon or Markazan or any surrounding area. God is with you, and he's speaking to you today. Are we willing to sit and listen? There's one story I'm just wanting to end with about a man named David who was a student in Lubumbashi. He was studying at a university there, and he's wanting to do Bible school but has not had the opportunity to go yet. However, he introduced himself to me after his Sunday morning service. He said, "Madam, I'd like to interview you for a radio broadcast that I want to put on about missions, learning about being a missionary. How did you become a missionary? How did you end up where you are, and what's it like?" And I said, "Sure, not a problem." I gave him my phone number. And I didn't hear anything from him and didn't really think anything of it. I meet lots of people, and my phone number is given out. And so when it comes, it comes. However, a few days later, I ended up back at the same church looking for someone to talk about the class that I was teaching at the Bible school and had a couple questions. I walked into the man's office, and he was not in there. And there was another gentleman in there, and his face was puffy, and he looked like he had been beat up. And so I just walked out. I was a little bit uncomfortable. I wasn't sure what to say. And as I walked out of the office, another gentleman walked down the hallway, and he said, "Oh, the pastor you're looking for is coming. He's helping the gentleman that's in there. Just go in there and wait, and he'll come and help you." And I really didn't want to, but I felt like God was calling me to go back in and encourage that man. And when I got in there, within 30 seconds of sitting down, the man said to me, "Madame, do you remember me?" And I'm like, "I'm sorry, I don't." I didn't recognize him. And here it was David, the man I had met just a few days before. I said, "David, what happened?" He said, "Madame, I've been meaning to call you, but I lost my phone. I've lost everything." He's like, "2 days ago, I was walking down the street, and a young boy came and asked me for money." And he's a part of the evangelism department in the church, and he asked the boy, "What do you need the money for? Is your family in trouble? Can I see them? Can I pray with them? Maybe the church can help." And the boy was very hesitant. He didn't want to take him to his house, but he kept pushing him and said, "Please take me. I want to pray with your family." And the boy would not give him a reason why he needed the money. And finally, the boy said, "Fine, I will take you to my family." And as they're walking to his home, they're walking through this neighborhood, and a lady comes up to them and says, "What are you doing with this child?" And he's like, "Oh, he stopped me and asked me for money, and so I'm asking him to take him home, take me home so I can meet his family and see what their needs are, and maybe the church can help, and I can pray with them." And she did not believe him and started screaming, "Kidnapper, kidnapper," to which the men in the village came and started beating him up. And ripping his clothes, took his phone, his money, and for several hours he was being beaten to the point where they poured gas on him and were about ready to light a match. And a young man came through the neighborhood and saw what was happening and knew who was being beaten up and said, "You need to stop. This man is a man of God. I know that what you're saying is not true. And all I ask is that you call the police and that he gets arrested, but do not light that match." This was a man from the village where David lived, and because of his actions, this man was not a Christian, but he knew who David was and what he stood for, and he said, "Do not light that match. Just call the police," and so they did, and he ended up in jail, soaked in gas, and while he was in prison, because evangelism is such a big part of his heart, he spoke truth and life to the inmates that were there, and there was a man that received Jesus Christ. And wouldn't you know that that man, it was his last night in jail, and the next day he would be free. He says, "I want to know more about this Jesus. Can you please give me your phone number? I want to hear more. I want you to tell me more about this Jesus." He says, "I don't have a phone." He's like, "Go to this church. They'll help you. And know I will be praying for you. And you will hear more about this Jesus." I find out later that one of my Bible school students who is a judge actually is the one that went to jail and was able to get David out of prison. And so here he sat in this office in this church where they were trying to get his medical bills paid and his school schedule back in up to, because he missed several days of school, and just some extra money to help him out. To which he said to me, he's like, "Madame," he's like, "what piece of advice could you give me?" And I wanted to cry. I said, "I'm not even worthy to give you advice. What you've gone through, I can't even imagine." I said, one thing I can tell you, that God is faithful. He is not done with your life. You have a plan and a purpose. And if it was for that one man to come to know Jesus Christ, that you had to go through what you had to go through, then that's the reason why it had to happen. But do not give up on God, because God is not giving up on you. He loves you, and he wants to do a work in your life. Continue to do what he's called you to do, to evangelize, to speak truth and life into people's lives, no matter what that looks like. My friends, God loves you, and he wants to do the same thing in your heart and life. He has you here for a reason. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, whether that's to go to Congo, whether that's to go to Asia, whether that's go to Ripon, Wisconsin. I pray that God blesses you today. I pray that God uses you today and that you are light to other people, but also other people are lights to you. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for what you do for Christ as your Christ follower. If you are not, please, you have the opportunity to accept Christ today. As Robin comes, let's just pray. And I just want to pray over those that are listening today that God would just speak to your heart this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for those that are out on the airwaves, those that are out on the video, Lord, on the streaming. We pray right now that whatever need that they may have, Lord, however small or however big that is, Lord, we know you know the details of their lives. Lord, you don't miss anything. You created each and every one of us. Those that are sick, Lord, I pray that you heal them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Jesus, that your healing power would just flow through them. Lord, we just pray right now that whatever their needs are, that you bring hope and peace into their neighborhood, into their homes, into their cities, Lord, that the light of Jesus Christ would come on them, that they would be a light to their neighbors, to their community. Lord, be with the churches, wherever they may be. Lord, help them to be lighthouses of hope and truth for a world that is just searching. Help us to be lights for you, Lord, to go and to capture those that are searching for you. Lord, I pray a blessing upon this church. I pray a blessing upon every person that's listening, that you be in their family. Lord, you know their hearts. And I just pray that you would just let them know that you love them, and that you're by them. You're in front of them, behind them, in all sides. That you are not far from just your name, Jesus. Jesus, come and be a part of our life today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Robbie's gonna lead us in worship here in just a moment. But before he does that, I just want to take a moment. I don't know if you're watching right now live with us, or maybe you're watching this later on Facebook or YouTube. But if you need a relationship with Jesus, we want to pray for you to accept Christ and start that relationship. And know you've got a whole church family here at Hillside that loves you. Whether you live in Ripon or surrounding communities or across the country, there's a church here who loves you, and we consider you a part of our family. To start that relationship with Jesus is to say, I'm not perfect. That means I'm a sinner. There's something wrong with me, that I'm broken. And the Bible tells us we're all broken in some form or fashion. We're all sinners who need a Savior. To believe that Jesus Christ came, that he was the Son of God, that he came, that he died, and that he rose again, that he conquered the grave to have a relationship with you. And then to surrender and say, Lord, I want you to start being the driver of my life. I want to start learning to follow you and growing in the things that you're calling me to grow in, change and transform my life. And here's the best part. Anytime that God asks you to surrender something in your life, to give it up, God always replaces it with something so much better. So I want to pray for you this morning if you want to start a relationship with Christ. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I'm imperfect. And I need a Savior in my life. Jesus, would you come in? Because I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came, that you died, and that you rose again, that you paid a price I could not pay, because you value me so much. Lord, I surrender my life to you. I've been trying to do it my way, trying to understand my way, and I'm not doing what I need to be doing. I'm not where I need to be. So, Lord, I surrender to you. Would you be the driver of my life? Lord, help me to start following you. I know you can put us, Lord, right where you need us to be. just like that story that Gloria shared. Lord, you're so good at putting us right where we need to be when we need to be there. We thank you this morning, God, that you're moving in this place and across our state and across our country, across this globe like never before. God, putting us in the right place at the right time. Lord, I know that you hunger, God, for those who do not know you. Right here in Ripon, in our surrounding community, God, we pray you would pour out your Spirit like never before. And that, God, you would equip the church to shine the light in the darkness, to be the voice of hope. Lord, whether it's online, in a building, or outside in the freezing cold, that the word of the Lord would be spoken and that hearts would respond. Lord, we thank you so much for Gloria this morning. And God, we pray an anointing over her and our other missionary partners. God, we're not called to do this alone. God, you've equipped us with phenomenal men and women that are traveling the globe to every corner to share the gospel message for such a time as this. And God, we pray, I know Gloria's heart, I understand it. Her desire to be among her people that you've called her to speak into their lives, to preach the word. God, I pray that hunger would grow over the coming weeks and months. And when she returns to the Congo, there would be such a fresh fire in her. It would explode out of her. That God, you would put her where she needs to be, exactly when she needs to be there. Lord, we pray for our other missionary partners across the globe and right here at home this morning. Adrian, who will be interning with our college ministry next semester, God, we pray an anointing over him. Lord, for Nick, whose desire to go to Japan, Lord, we pray that you would open those doors at the right time, at the right place. Lord, we thank you that, God, you would use people such as us, God, to reach our community. Thank you for your power and grace. We love you so much. Jesus' name, amen. Church, we love you so much. I miss being outside with you and honking the horns. If you're out here right now, you can honk the horns. It's okay to say amen. Everybody will think you're crazy, but your pastor's crazy too. We love you guys so much. Next week, I'll be coming back. We're going to preach in March. We're talking about We're going to be preaching in Mark, not March. Preaching in Mark, talking about your miracles on its way. As God challenges us to be just like Jesus in our life and ministry, God's going to do some great things. Jeb will be with us next week. And I do want to encourage you, if you haven't given to missions, I know we have so many new people who are part of our church. If you haven't given to missions on a regular basis, we would encourage you to do that. Because people like Gloria, we have almost 20 missionary partners we support on a monthly basis. And we have, there's so many. I mean, our doors and phones are beat down by missionaries that need support to go where God's calling them to go. If you support missions on a monthly basis, we're able to put more people on the field. So if you're not currently doing that, would you pray about giving a specific amount every month towards missions so we can pick up some more ministry partners? Gloria is one of our partners that we support every month. We're going to financially bless her today. But we really would love you to give on a regular basis to mission so that we can support more missionaries. Hey, I had a great time with you guys today. I hope you enjoyed the service. Robbie's going to close us out with two more worship songs. Robbie, would you play for us today?
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here. And without you, I'd fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, and where you today. We're going to sing the song, Shout to the Lord. What a great way to end. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. He fills us with his joy. To praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, a tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath with all that to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have. Yes, nothing compares to the promise I have.
Thank you for this day that we can come and worship you, that we can listen to your word. Thank you for the word that Gloria shared to us this morning. Lord, I pray that we would be challenged this week as we go our separate ways to be humble before you, to love mercy, to act justly. Thank you for your goodness and for your faithfulness to us. Lord, remind us each day this week that worship is something we do 24/7. It's not just something we do on a Sunday morning, but Lord, each day when we get up, may we start our day praising you and giving you thanks and goodness for all that you have done for us. Lord, I thank you for this church. Let your will be done in Jesus' name.